Hello and welcome once again to our Bible study. This is Mike Moody and we're pleased to be with you once again. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 once again. And let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we do thank you for the Word of God and for the anticipation for the return of your dear Son. For those of us that know Him in a personal way, we thank you that we can have confidence in the knowledge of sins forgiven because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just ask that you would be with us as we have opportunity again to open that precious Word that sits before us. And we just thank you, Father, that it is the living Word of God. We pray in Christ's name once again. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians, we've been considering the coming of the Lord and how, in view of that coming, how should we as believers live day to day? And yet, as we consider these things, we've come to a portion at the end of chapter 4 that gives us details about the return of the Lord from the sense of the rapture, that is, when the Lord will take the church to be with Himself in the clouds. This is distinct from the literal second coming of the Lord when He puts His feet upon the ground, which there we see that described in Revelation 19, Zechariah 14, and Matthew 24. But as we consider the rapture, which would be 7 years approximately before the Lord comes to put His feet on the ground to set things in order and then to establish His earthly kingdom. 7 years before that is when we see the Lord snatching away the church to ever be with Him. And this must happen because as you read about the Lord coming 7 years later to put His feet upon the ground, we read in places such as Jude 14 and in Zechariah 14 and Revelation 19, we read that He will return with His saints. So to come back with His saints, well, the saints would have had to have been taken to be with Him first. So that's, there is one of the reasons why we can clearly understand that the rapture will occur distinctly at a different time and before the Lord Himself comes back to put His feet on the ground. These things matter in Scripture, the timing of the rapture. It affects how we live. It affects how we live in light of His coming. For we're here to preach the gospel and to live in a holy manner. We're not here to change the world, but to preach the gospel to the world in that while when people come to know the Lord Jesus, their lives will change because of the in-living Christ in them. The Spirit of God takes up residence in an individual once they are born again. So our role is to preach the gospel to every creature and not to look to change the world. These things are affected by how you look at future things. There are those in Christendom who think that, well, some say there is no rapture. Some say the rapture doesn't occur until later on when the Lord comes, and they try to work it out at some later time when he comes to the ground. And by all of these misapplications of Scripture, they've tied that in with an application of saying that there is no such dealings with Israel in the future, that God is through with Israel, and they call it replacement theology. Sometimes they say that the church is Israel and such as that, instead of making a distinction between the church and Israel. So because of these things, it affects the way they live. They think it's their call to try to make us a Christian nation, for example. They think it is the place to try to bring in the kingdom here on the earth. But the Lord tells us that we are to preach the gospel. And that the Lord Himself will establish His kingdom in His time and upon His return to the ground. So we should be careful that we understand our eschatology or the study of future things in the Word of God, that we might rightly divide the Word of truth, that we might understand how we are to live. You know, if His return is imminent, that is, at any time, it matters how we live today. And the last time we were with you, we examined verses 13 to 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4, looking at the various verses, but particularly also in verse 17, the phrase to be caught up together. To be caught up is the word, the phrase that brings the term rapture in from the Latin translation. And so we see in the Greek the word harpazo. But also in other places in Scripture we see a similar term, the translation, the word translation, to be transferred immediately, to be exchanged from one place to another. What I'd like to do today is begin by reading this passage once again and then compare with other passages the translation. We'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 15 in just a moment. And then at some point in the future, we'd like to consider passages that give illustrations of the rapture as we see other people that have been snatched away in a sudden fashion. Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another in these words." And so with this, let's compare our reading to 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. This pretty lengthy chapter deals with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus in verse 3 and 4. And later on, verse 16 down, it deals with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, if our faith in him was not supported by his resurrection, our faith would be in vain. The resurrection is a crucial aspect of the gospel. And in this, in verse 20, we see that Christ has become the first fruits of them that slept. And as we see these truths about the resurrection of our bodies, it's based upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We have the promise of our resurrection because of his resurrection. The Lord Jesus was accepted by the Father. It even states in this chapter, verse 27, that in the future all things, he has put all things under his feet, verse 27, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. You see, the Father did accept the Lord Jesus' perfect death on the cross, and it was proven by his resurrection. And again, we continue through the chapter, and the portion we'd like to consider is verse 51. Here it's speaking of the rapture once again. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." This scripture before us is a powerful one. It speaks about a change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we see that this is quite distinct from when the Lord will come and put his feet upon the ground. This is when we will meet him, that is, we the church will meet him in the air. The twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We shall have new bodies. We shall stand before him at the bema seat of Christ. And yet, praise be to him that we shall return with him as he establishes things in order here upon the earth. But yet, as we see this, verse 51, it speaks of a mystery. There are over a dozen New Testament mysteries. A mystery in the New Testament is speaking of a truth previously hidden in the Old Testament time, and yet has been brought out in clarity and taught by revelation of God in the New Testament. Various mysteries, such as the inliving Christ, that is, that Christ lives in permanently in the believer. Christ lives in you. We see this in Colossians 1, for example. As we consider the various mysteries of the New Testament, we realize that some of them have pictures and types in the Old Testament, such as the rapture. The rapture itself was not taught to the children of Israel. They did not understand about the church and that distinct entity that was distinct from them, that which it was Israel. As we mentioned before, earlier, there are ones that would want to say that the church is nothing more than just a replacement for Israel. But the Lord has made it clear in His Word. Places such as in Romans chapters 9, 10, 11, and other portions of the Word of God, that the church is a distinct entity, and the Lord will yet again deal with His nation, Israel. The tribulation time, we see that coming to pass. The Lord will deal with His people. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Give none offense to neither the Jew, nor the Gentile, nor the church of God." This is how He makes a distinguishing point between the peoples of the earth. You're either born a Jew or you're born a Gentile. If you're saved, you're part of the church of God. And so, with these things, we understand that the Lord will deal with Israel once again. But what about us as the church? We see, in a twinkling of an eye, this mystery will be fulfilled. It is taught in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament it was not clearly taught. It was not revealed. But we, as those in the church, we that have the completed Word of God, we can turn back to the Old Testament. We can see pictures. We can see glimpses as people like Enoch was taken in a moment and translated to heaven. We can see pictures of Elijah as he was taken up in a whirlwind in a moment. And there he was with the Lord. With this, Lord willing, continue with this theme the next time. But let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, again, we thank You for the blessed hope. And our prayer, even so come, Lord Jesus. And with this, we thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask that You'd be with those hearers today to make them victim of their need of a Savior if they're unsaved today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 1259, Ramsour, North Carolina, zip code 27316. Our requests for tapes are free. Join us next time at 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.